We're concluding our 10-part series on the shocking claims of Jesus. We might feel a bit overwhelmed, even discouraged. I'm Brian Patrick. Cheer up. Jesus has overcome the world, this time on Crossing the Goal. In this series, The Shocking Claims of Jesus, I Have Overcome the World is this segment, and our Crossing the Goal team is here once again with Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries, Curtis Martin of Focus, and our coach, former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach, Danny Abramowitz. Peter, this has been an interesting series, to say the least.
Yeah, it has. It's hard to believe we're at the end of it already,
yeah,
guys.
10 parts.
We've done 10 shows already, and they've all been good. And I think you made the point, Brian, in your intro to say that when we hear the words of Jesus, it can be a little discouraging to us. But he tells us the truth about who he is so that we can be rightly related to reality. We can be sane. We can understand what reality is all about. So he's putting us on the solid foundation of truth and of reality. And because we're so distorted, because we're just so confused, and because we have fallen short, it can intimidate us or make us be afraid. And we think, let's shape a different kind of Jesus. Let's do one that's a little nicer or a little bit this and that. But Jesus is love itself. Mm-hmm. Jesus is grace itself. And Jesus tells us the truth because he loves us so much. And he doesn't want us to be afraid of him in the wrong kind of timid sense. He said, I'm going to tell you the truth because it's part of the rebuilding of who we are, because his goal is to lead us back to glory. We've fallen from glory, and he's going to raise us up and take us back to glory. But he has to reveal himself first and tell us the truth about who he is. And then once we see the truth about him, he reveals the truth about us and our destiny. And then we see his might and his power, his glory and his authority. We know what he says he's going to do to us and for us, he's going to deliver, because he's actually got the power. And we know who he is. And that changes our whole way of thinking and being. So that's why this is so important for us to get Jesus right. Who the real Jesus is, the one we want to know.
And in a certain sense, Peter, this passage, this shocking statement of Jesus, I have overcome the world, is the secret decoder ring to discouragement. Because Jesus is not discouraged. Discouragement literally means to have no courage, to have your courage removed.
Yeah.
Jesus, in the midst of all the problems of the world, has kept his courage, and he's filled with joy. And it leads us to a paradox of the Christian life, because Christians, those who have embraced Jesus Christ, have come to realize, because he's taught us, just how broken the world is and just how broken we are. And yet in the midst of that, the paradox is we're also filled with more joy than anybody else in the world, because he has overcome the world. And that's the key for us.
Well, you know what happens, guys? I think I can see why people sometimes lose hope in that, because they're looking for love and hope in all the wrong places.
Yeah. You should write a song.
If they would just... I thought about that. Yeah. As long as I don't sing
it. Just don't sing it. Write it, but don't sing it.
But you know, listen to that scripture passage. Listen to Jesus, what he says. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Right.
That means no matter... That doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles and stuff on the way, that we're not going to have temptations, that we're not going to have sufferings, but be of good cheer. I've taken care of that. I've overcome the world.
Yeah. All right, we dig Amen. Deeper into overcome the world with the game plan from Peter and Curtis coming up next, right here on Crossing the Goal.
I'm Curtis Martin. I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and we're talking about the shocking statements of Jesus. And we're at the last of our sessions together, and we're looking at one of the final statements that Jesus makes, and it is very shocking. We look at John chapter 16, verse 33, and he says, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Now, Peter, what's amazing about this is that he actually makes this statement before he dies on the cross and before he is raised from the dead. So he's got such a confidence about where he is and who he is and what he's about that he can speak about this in the present tense.
Yeah.
And I think about the scene in the Passion of the Christ when he's fallen down and his mother comes to him. He's carrying his cross. He's fallen down. He's covered with blood. And he looks at his mother and he says, "Behold, I make all things
there
new."
There it is.
That's probably the most powerful scene in the movie for me. And this is the Jesus who's in absolute control.
Yeah.
He's overcome the world. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's a beautiful scene, that scene from the movie. And that the idea that it looks like just the opposite is happening. Everything's falling apart. The worst nightmare is happening. You know, Jesus himself is being brought down. It's just so much. And this is what the world is. You know, the world is the fallen dimension of reality that we all live in. Sin, brokenness, infidelity, sadness, violence, crime, hatred, tears upon tears upon tears. And Jesus is saying, look, you know in your heart there's something wrong with that. And you know in your heart you want to be free from it. And you can't be. But be of good cheer. I've come to free you from it. I am going to bring about a new creation where there's no more crying, there's no more tears, there's no more pain. I'm in charge and I will bring you into that. And so he's given us victory over the fallen nature of the world because we're no longer tied to that fallen world's destiny, which is judgment and separation from God. Because we were tied to it because of sin and we were death directed without hope. So God sends his son in the flesh to become one of us, to break the power that's over us. All those tears, all that pain, all that sin, all that compromise and infidelity and brokenness to bring us into a new creation. That's what he's doing. He said, look, I've got it under control, but you've got to trust me and you've got to come with me on this all the way and you'll inherit it.
No, and he's saying this as he's about ready to go into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. So he's got this sense. It's almost like you're playing basketball. You're down by 35. Yeah. And you look over and you wink and say, I got this.
And then you just start
taking it on. And it's just this unbelievable assault on the devil, on his power, on his dominion. And he's saying, I will take it all on. And as the wounds come, he sits back with such confidence in his Father, we have this.
Yes.
And that we should be able to look on our worst day, when we're filled with tears, when we're bloody and bruised, to look at him bloodied and bruised and say, if I'm with you, then I too will overcome the world.
Exactly. And so as the Spirit teaches us and helps us have confidence in that, and we see God's plan, and we have transformed ways of thinking, which is what the Lord calls us to a renewed mind who sees Jesus as he is, who sees the promise fulfilled in Jesus, then our hearts are filled with joy and we can proclaim like Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We do not lose heart. This is an important passage because so many people seem to be losing heart in this time. What about our economy? What about our country? What about weaknesses in the church? Do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, I'm sick, I'm battling cancer, I'm getting old, I've got all this going on, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
And this is, Paul is in no way, shape, or form minimizing or trivializing the suffering in this world. He feels it. He, as a follower of Christ, has suffered greatly. And we're aware of it. Jesus is aware of it. And yet when he distills it, he says it's a slight momentary affliction.
Yeah.
And it's not true in and of itself. It's only true in light of eternity.
Yeah.
In light of where we're going, this eternal weight of glory, this other thing is a slight momentary affliction. Whatever God has prepared for us, and we don't know what it is, it hasn't entered into our hearts or minds, whatever is on the other side of the gates of heaven, when we walk in, all those questions, people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a question for God.
Yeah.
And we're going to get there, and the doors are going to open, we're like, wow, I don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Whatever's on the other side is just going to overwhelm us, and we'll look back and say, oh my goodness, they were right. It was a slight momentary affliction because Jesus has overcome the world. This is power for us to be able to sit back and say, on my worst day, I can be close to you on your worst day, and I can take confidence in you because, Lord, I can take courage because you've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Great game plan. Curtis's story about, you know, being down 35 and saying, I got this, reminded me of you and your punt return, deciding to return a punt and didn't tell anybody else. I got this.
Oh, yeah, I had it all figured out. That's why I got all these store-bought teeth in there. Forgot the fair catch. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, we'll protect you down in the red zone. Next, here on Crossing the Goal. We're in the red zone now on Crossing the Goal, talking about how Jesus has overcome the world. You know, we're told to be of good cheer. One translation says, take courage. And we really need to look at this discouragement that we talked about, the opposite of courage.
I think it's very easy to get caught up in the collective discouragement in the world. You know, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't have enough of what I need. And a general kind of unhappiness and fear can settle in on people's lives.
Heaviness.
And look, the brothers and sisters in here, in the scripture and in Catholic history, the saints, they lived through times that were so much more difficult than what we live through, I think, and many of them, and they suffered, but they had a joy. Why? Because they saw where their life was headed. And they knew that the down payment had been made, the promise came from the Lord, the promise of heaven, and they already had Christ in them, and they believed it. They had hope, they had confidence in the fulfillment of their life, was because, as Paul says, it's Christ in you, he's the hope of your glory. He's the payment, the promise, that glory is going to be yours.
I agree
with you. And it brings joy.
About the people back in the Old Testament and back 2,000 years ago, whatever. But, you know, people here face pretty strong things. And
sure.
What I think happens, Peter, is that they feel alone. And that life's going to sail along sometimes, and we're going to have just some rocky times. Well, I got through this one, I'll be okay now. Well, it might be a temptation and another suffering, another trial, and they become overwhelmed. And they say, I can't do this by myself. And they are exactly right. You can't do it by yourself. That's why, guys out here, so many times we keep saying, get involved with other Christian men. Get involved with small groups. I can tell all of us in this room right here been involved with small groups. To this day, I've been doing it for over 25 years, and it's made a difference. Because, we're not always up all the time. We're up and down, but we get around other brothers, and they encourage us. They uplift us. And then when you get in the scriptures and talk about be of cheer, have courage, and then you hear it from your brothers, that's when we start coming along the path for hope and not despair and discouragement.
I mean, Jesus didn't save one of us. He saved us into a church.
Yes.
In fact, and the word church actually comes from the word ecclesia, which means assembly. And so whatever he saved an assembly of people. He expects us to assemble together, to be in communion with one another, so we can live out those two great commandments he gave us. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor. And to be able to recognize the church is where that happens. But the church has a billion members now, so you break it down into bite-sized pieces where people are in a small enough group so that everyone is known, loved, and cared for, and be able to wrestle their way through this broken, fallen world, which includes my broken, fallen heart,
right,
that Christ is in the midst of redeeming, but it's a battle in progress, and to be able to have brothers who are there to help me to get through this, because the process of experiencing the victory that Christ won is a messy process. Christianity is free, but it's not cheap. It's given to us, we can't earn it, but once it's given to us, we then have to wrestle with it.
Yeah, and the devil wants to isolate us. And his tool, his greatest tool, I think, is discouragement. Mm-hmm. You know, once he discourages us, the rest, you know, we kind of do ourselves in. So he wants to isolate us so that we're overwhelmed. And I totally agree, Coach. We need to stick together as men.
The reason that helps to do that is because the brothers and sisters help us when we're not seeing the truth. And they communicate the truth to us. And this is what the saints and others tell us, is to say, I often think, well, if I could just get through this problem, life's going to be better on the other end of the problem. If I get through this trouble, if I get through this disappointment, if I get through this sickness, then I can be happy or joyful and things will work out. Well, that's not the point. That's really not true. It's what the scripture teaches us very clearly, and the saints say, right here, right now, in this world, we're all going to have tribulation. It's just the way it is. You can't avoid it. And Jesus said, in the midst of tribulation, because of what you know, what he's revealed, you can actually have joy and peace in the midst of great trial, because you have the promise in you.
And you know what happens to us a lot of times? We talk on the show about what some ways that we can change to prevent some of the things that are happening in our life. And I think, take for instance myself this Lent, I decided to stay away from a lot of the news stuff and these talk shows and you know,
things that discourage you.
You get on it.
You gave up Oprah for Lent.
No, but I mean, really, that you start picking up the paper and getting into all these shows, and they stir you up with it's negative. There's very, I don't hear too many positive stories.
Yeah.
But you get in the scriptures, you hear a lot of positive stories. Be around other brothers. Be around positive thinking people.
Yeah.
Get up in the day and say, no, I refuse. I'm not going to have a bad day. I'm going to be positive today, no matter what happens.
And that's why it makes sense when the scripture says, rejoice always.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear that, you think, what? Yeah, but really, rejoice always, because you have reason to rejoice, objectively.
And you can turn things around even in the middle of the day, Coach. Even if your day starts to get a little sour, at any point, we can start over again, and we can turn things around with that same positive attitude, but that comes from the power of God. By God's grace.
That's right.
And the beautiful thing about our faith is that this is true on any given day, but it's actually true on the worst of days. He actually tells us right in the passage, in the world you will find tribulation. And on those days when your loved one passed away unexpectedly, on those days when your greatest fears have come to be realized and you've lost your job or whatever it is, in those days you can come to Him and recognize, I'm not playing for all the marbles right now. This is a world that's broken. And I have the ticket to get through this world into a world where every tear will be wiped away. Well, if every tear is going to be wiped away, it means we're going to cry some along the way. Something has to get wiped away.
Yeah.
But once we get there, everything gets better. That allows the Christians to have joy, even in the midst of deep sorrow. And that's so real that people outside the church criticize it and say, oh, well, religion is a crutch, or it's the opiate of the masses because it works so well. Yeah. That's not it. Christianity is true. That's why it
works. That's why it works.
And sometimes we get discouraged or get aggravated because we got not what we wanted, but what we need. See, we want this and we want that. We want this. We want to grab it. Then it doesn't come to fruition. And we said, Lord, didn't answer my prayer. Well, He did answer your prayer. He gave you what you need.
Yeah, when you look back, don't you see that, though?
Yeah. I've done it so many times in my life, aggravated the Lord. I prayed. I did all the things. I prayed. I did this, and it still didn't answer. About a year and a half later, thank God He didn't give me that.
Boy,
I'd have been a nine-line bind.
Yeah. Brothers, we're here at the end of this series. We just have a minute left here or so in the red zone. Be great. Why don't we just take a minute and pray? With our friends who are watching the program tonight. Brothers and sisters, we love you. We're in this together, and we're all gathering around the person of Jesus. And let's just hold them up in prayer together, okay? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father in heaven, tonight, today, we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the gift of your precious Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
We hear the word the scripture and the church bring to us about who He is.
Yes.
And we accept His authority, His lordship, mm-hmm. His majesty, His saving power. Father, we're so thrilled and fascinated to see your plan unfolding in your Son who you love so much. Yes. Jesus, the beautiful young prince of the universe, the savior of the world. Lord, we receive Him tonight again. And we pray for all of our friends and listeners tonight that by the power of the Holy Spirit, they could receive a deeper revelation of the beauty and the majesty and the glory of your Son, Jesus, and to know with convincing power in their mind and heart and their life how deeply loved they are and how precious they are in your eyes, so precious you gave your only Son, and that He has all the power in the universe, and He's fully intending to bring them home to their Father's house for the fulfillment of all desire. Thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. In the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Peter. Powerful prayer, powerful series. Thank you for being with us. We'll wrap it up from the end zone next. In the end zone, in the last of the series on the shocking claims of Jesus, overcome the world. Jesus tells that He has done that, and
Coach, you have a real heart for bringing men together to realize that Jesus loves us and he wants us to be a band of brothers.
Yes.
I can speak for all my brothers up here. I know where their hearts are, and we really care about you and care about your soul. You know, we have a Crossing the Goal show. It's enjoyable doing it, and we really appreciate the listening audience and Armed Forces Network and all that business. And then we have also the conferences. Very effective. We go one day and go do a conference, talk about conversion, transformation, evangelization. It's great. But I think the real key to our ministry and to your growth in the spiritual life, because what we're concerned about is our souls and your soul, the Crossing the Goal, the salvation of our souls. Small groups are the key in parishes. If you go to a conference or you go to a retreat, or no matter where you go, and you don't follow up by going and getting involved with other brothers or sisters or whatever, you're going to revert back to your old ways. We don't want that to happen. We're going to set these groups up for a reason. You could go to our website. You can learn all about the small groups. Now I want to turn it to my brothers. I'll talk at the end about the small groups, about how you feel about small groups, guys.
No, they've been a big part of my life, really. I've been following the Lord seriously since I was about 18 years old. I'm 104 right now. I'm 54 right now. But it's been an important part of my life to have the support, the accountability, the friendship in times of difficulty and trial. So I would just say, and I think the content we have is really helpful.
Yeah, it is.
And I think guys will rally around it. So spread the good infection and get it out there and help people see it.
I mean, look at a charcoal fire. You got a bunch of red hot burning embers, and all of a sudden you take one coal out and put it on the side. That one gets cold and the rest remain hot. We need to be like those bricks that are gathered together that are burning hot because of the heat from one another. All of our work and focus with small groups, taking us from 2 students to 12,000 students, have been small group driven. This is where God works things out with people.
Yeah, yes.
Don't let the devil isolate you. Stay close to our brothers. I know I don't want to go back to my old ways, Coach.
No, neither do I.
All right, let's get the last word on our topic today, overcome the world. Peter?
Friends, this is our last show, and I'm so glad you're able to join us. I just want to say 2 quick things. It's normal for a Catholic to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe. You can have that in your life. Number 2, it's normal for a Catholic to tell others about Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. God bless you.
The scripture and church history is filled with examples of men who have conquered the world in Christ. In fact, the book of Hebrews says they're men of whom the world was not worthy. God desires right now to make you, whether man or woman, to be a man or woman of whom the world is not worthy, to be world changers by allowing first our lives to be changed by Jesus Christ. Draw close to him, he will change you, and you can change the world.
What I want you to do at the end of the show, go to our website, www.crossingthegoal.com, and click on workout groups. Look at it. This is what we want you to do. It tells you how to get involved with a group or get one started. Please do it. For
Thanks.
God's sake.
Coach Danny Bramwitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, I'm Brian Patrick. Thanks for joining us on Crossing the Goal.